Please be seated. The week of All Saints, as I guess it should, always is a time to reflect, time to think about those who have been a part of our lives but are no longer with us. I do that every year during All Saints Week. I think about folks whose path I've been privileged to cross. And it's a poignant and nostalgic and sometimes sad experience. But it's always, always a time where I find myself grateful. This past week, I thought about one of those people. I thought about actually one of the great honors of my life that took place here as your rector in 2007, where I had the privilege of officiating at the funeral of one of our members, Paul Johnson, at Arlington National Cemetery in Washington. And I call this an honor because despite all the grief that was involved, I had never witnessed anything at all like this, much less been a part of it. The service was full military honors, and I'm not sure that I completely understood what that meant at Arlington beforehand. Yet from the opening of the service with the military band in the courtyard playing hymns and the truly emotional procession through Arlington behind the caisson, I was in awe. I was in awe of everything that was taking place, the dignity and the tradition and the honor that was shown in remembrance of a friend was unlike anything I'd ever seen before. Now, following the service, the Johnson family hosted a reception at the Officers Club. And the place was packed with friends they'd made from all over the world. And it really was a privilege to meet so many of them. But it was one of their friends who said something to me that at first it struck me as being pretty odd. But later, I thought maybe it was pretty profound. This woman was referring to the ceremony that had just taken place and my part in it. And this woman that I hardly knew said to me, "Well, I imagine you consider yourself blessed. That must rank in one of the top 10 moments of your ministry." Well, while she didn't know me, the fact was she was right. It truly was an honor and a privilege to have been a part. But I guess I was taken aback a little bit because I don't think I'd ever really thought about top 10 moments of my ministry. And in the days and weeks that followed, I really began to ponder that idea. I even extended it beyond just my vocation and thought about what are the top 10 moments of my life. And I realized that I couldn't do it. I couldn't list a top 10, either in life or vocation. I couldn't list a top 10, not because I didn't think of enough blessed moments, but because I couldn't help but think of too many. It's a pretty incredible exercise to focus on your blessings, to literally remember them, and to spend some time centered among them. And that place of blessedness is what Jesus has on his mind in today's gospel lesson. But there's one big problem. It seems the idea, Jesus' idea of who and what is blessed is a whole lot different from how we use that word. Blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who weep, those who are persecuted, Jesus says. Blessed are the comfortable, those with good jobs, a nice home, a yearly vacation, we most often say. Allowing that word blessed to roll off our tongues without a second thought. So how do we reconcile that? How did we reach the place where blessedness has become about what we have instead of those we've been given who have traveled this road with us? There was an article that made the rounds a while back about blessedness, and I saved it, but unfortunately I didn't save the title of the article or the author, so I can't give proper credit. But in essence, this article is about how often and how perhaps inappropriately we use that word blessed. The author contends that when we say our material fortune is the result of God's blessing, that we reduce the Almighty to some kind of skybound, wish-granting fairy who spends his days randomly bestowing cars and cash on those who believe. And besides, the author argues, if we call ourselves blessed simply because of our good fortune, what does that say about the hundreds of millions of good followers in this world who live on less than $10 a day? A single-digit dollar blessing a day. The kind of people that Jesus has gathered around him in today's gospel lesson. I guess on the surface, maybe using the word blessed as we use it, and as often as we use it, really is harmless. I mean, after all, aren't we supposed to give glory to God for everything we have? And maybe it's just semantics sometimes. But the truth is, I don't know why I was born where I was, or why I have the opportunities I've had that other good and faithful people have not. I don't know, and you don't either. It's in fact beyond my comprehension. But I certainly don't believe that God has chosen me above others because of the veracity of my prayers or the depth of my faith. And I'm also not so sure that Jesus would call what we have blessed. Instead, I think he would call it a responsibility. What will we do with what we have? Will you use it to help? Will you share it? Will you change a cruel world, even if it's just one person at a time? That leaves us with a lot of choices and very few answers. But what I do know is this, is that I am blessed in this. I am blessed to know a God who gives hope to the hopeless. I'm blessed to know a God who loves the unlovable. I'm blessed to know a God who comforts the sorrowful. I'm blessed to know a God who, that day up on a mountaintop, drew a group of people together for whom life hadn't been easy, people who were impoverished and burdened. And he looked at them and he said, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You are blessed. You're blessed because you're invited into a new kingdom, a new kind of kingdom. A kingdom where, regardless of who you are or where you might be, that you have a place." And the amazing thing is that he planted that same power within each of us. Maybe today's gospel lesson has nothing at all to do with the blessedness found in what we have, but it's simply a reminder that life is short and sometimes hard, and that we're all in this together, all people loved by God. And perhaps it's a wake-up call and a challenge to find our truest blessing in the everyday and ordinary people who, through everyday and ordinary means, reflect the presence of the risen Christ among us in everyday, in ordinary ways. The saints of God, whose lives have crossed our own paths, and those precious grace-filled moments that can never be adequately valued or measured. The blessed parts of our life who are just normal people who differ from most others in this world, not because of their degree of moral perfection, but because of their place in our own lives. And the little bits of themselves that they've given us that help form and inform who we are and who we strive to be. May we honor those saints this day with gratitude. With a blessed gratitude that our paths have crossed, that our lives have been touched, our hearts have been formed by the saints before us, and just as importantly, by the saints among us. Because that is a blessing that is truly priceless. Because it really is true. They lived not only in ages past, there are hundreds of thousands still. The world is bright with the joyous saints who love to do Jesus' will. You can meet them at school, or in lanes, or at sea, in church, or in trains, or in shops, or at tea. For the saints of God are just folk like me, and I mean to be one too. God love you. God bless you. Amen.